Welcome to a Marketing 2.0 podcast today. I'm here with Charlie Northend, the president and CEO of DMNA, an ad agency in San Francisco and San Jose. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For the folks who don't know Charlie, Charlie's been a four-time judge of the National Student Advertising Competition. He's also worked with clients such as Apple, NEC, AT&T, Sun, those amazing San Jose Sharks, and a few other large names. Charlie, we're here to talk about those changes that are going on in marketing advertising, even in the publishing world, and how that affects marketing advertising professionals. How do you and your agency, how do you see marketing advertising right now? How do you see it changing, and how do you define that change?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I actually initially started out in the publishing business, so I think all of these industries are so intertwined, and they're all changing rapidly, and if you think back just a short time ago to the dot-com bubble that we had, and at that time, media companies were doing great. It was hard to book space. They were making a lot of money. Agencies were all scrambling to hire enough people to get the jobs done. And the interesting thing was that all those web 1.0 companies were out trying to build their brand, and they're primarily building them with the old school mediums. And during that time period, traditional agencies, with their approach and their structure, they were thriving. They were having to figure out some of these new media issues, websites and banner programs. But primarily, the traditional approach and structure worked great. And I think that since that time and since the crash, the web has become much more of a disruptive force. Every media outlet that we look at is busy blowing up their model, and they're all trying to reinvent themselves to face these new challenges. And that isn't an easy task. As consumers of media, we become creatures of habit. We expect to find information in certain sections of a publication or in certain stations. We expect it to be delivered to us in certain ways from an information standpoint as well as even an advertising standpoint. And as these media outlets all try to redefine themselves and reinvent themselves, there's a big risk that consumers will become less loyal.
And on the publishing side, obviously the larger players are having some challenge moving with this change. And I won't name all their names, but I think we all read about it every couple weeks in the business section, right? And it's been going on for the last couple of years, and some of these big players are either bowing out or they're struggling. And so let me move that over to the ad agency world. How are the large ad agencies dealing with these types of, with this change?
Well, I think that the reality is that as agencies, we have to figure out how to change too. We can no longer be structured to simply provide creative that maps up and aligns with those old school mediums or old school ways. And I think that even the work that we create today is a lot more in-depth and a lot more complicated. And I think that as agencies, we're trying to figure out how do we keep developing and creating these more elements online, and at the same time doing it in a way that enables us to maintain our profitability goals.
Charlie, what about some other ways to reach out to prospects in more engaging or interactive ways, like, we're on a podcast now, that's one, videos or webinars or RSS feeds. Can you tell me some of the things you're doing over there at the agency?
We're certainly excited about a lot of the new ways we have to reach prospective customers. And I think we realized years ago that video was a great medium that we could exploit, and it was always tough to do video because clients didn't quite know what to do with the video after they produced it, even if they loved it. So we really got excited when we saw new technologies coming online that were able to bring video to the web. In fact, we started a whole new division called Brand Faces, nothing but videos. And the way that we do these videos is we interview those that are managing the brand, the senior managers, the product managers, those that have sort of a vision for the brand. Then we interview customers or those that are impacted by customers who use the products. And we bring those voices together. And I think that what we get is this really sort of authentic face of the brand, if you will. There's no voiceover, founded in 1984 by two industry veterans. It's just purely customers and those managing the brand that are their voices coming together sort of create this powerful story that no copywriter could ever create. And in fact, we hired a woman who was executive producer of the Dr. Phil show, and she's able to bring these together in a very journalistic style. And again, it's an authenticity to it and a power of listening to these people just honestly talk and passionately talk about the brand that we as an agency couldn't create on our own.
So I was reading in, I think it was the New York Times the other day, that some of the larger brands are moving away from less traditional advertising, and obviously that's no news. I think we've been reading about that for the last year, right? Nike, GE, GM, et cetera. What if you're a marketing person like myself, and I'm working with a large ad agency? I mean, what I'm hearing is some of these folks who are working with large ad agencies are actually bringing in newer, smaller agencies to help with some of the online or the interactive, or what people are calling conversational marketing or dealing with social media, because some of the larger agencies aren't really, I guess, nimble enough to keep up with that move.
Yeah, I think nimble's a good word. Maybe I'm biased, but I'm glad we're a small agency. We're growing, but we're still small, and we are able to adjust to new methods and adapt new ideas faster. I was watching Mad Men the other night, the advertising show about advertising in the 60s, and they walked this new employee through the agency and through all the different departments, and they stopped in media, and they basically said, hey, this is where all our billing comes from. You know, these guys support all the work that we do. And obviously that's not the model that's there today, and that's changed for agencies large and small. I think that as a large agency, the structure is very rigid, and it's still structured to produce 30-second spots. It's still structured to produce, large ad campaigns and then leverage those campaigns across a big media budget. I think that agencies today need to think a little bit different about their role and what they do. There still is a opportunity and a need for those 30-second spots and those print ads, but I think overall we need to think of ourselves more as content creators, and by that I mean whether that's online companion sites to our client site to drive traffic there, or doing something different in video or broadcast or events, all things that increase that brand interaction between a client and a customer. And I think with things changing so fast and bringing ideas in such as these that don't fit neatly into a large agency infrastructure, it's hard for them to adapt. You know, it's a big ship to move, and I think that's where the smaller agencies that let the ideas drive the process instead of the process drive the ideas are more able to adjust and provide new thinking to these companies.
Yeah, and I think you're providing your customers or your clients better results. The only challenge is when you move online, you have all these different components, you're changing content in and out, you probably give yourself a little more work, you and the client, right? Because it's funny, the more you learn, the more data you want to do, and the more resources you want to throw at it, right? I mean, if it's working,
yes,
you start throwing more resources at it, and you start adjusting and moving and what have you. But with that said, I mean, how is online marketing helping your clients be more efficient in reaching their prospects? I mean, are they seeing a better ROI, better cost per lead, better cost per acquisition of a customer?
Oh, definitely. I think that, online has given us so many new and great ways to, target our messages, whether it's through personalization or being able to afford a campaign where we can create so many multiple touch points and capture leads and have lead nurturing. I think one of the things that it's given us as marketing professionals is an ability to constantly measure the performance and effectiveness of what we do. Therefore, we can constantly adjust whether it's creative, whether it's the messaging and the offer, the list or the mediums that we're using. So we can continually track and improve cost per lead or cost per acquisition, and overall the ROI on the marketing spend. Things
yeah.
that were really difficult to do with a TV campaign or print ads, where after 6 months we stopped and analyzed, whether it was lead tracking or whether it was sales or ad audits. We had a few things at our disposal, but nothing that really we could turn around and say, look, here's what you spent on the campaign, here's what you got in return. I mean, just today we have so many different ways to provide that information at any moment in the account.
I think by moving online, you know, we the client and you the advertising agency, I mean, we're so much smarter. The challenge is, I mean, we're getting all this information daily, so we're making changes once a week, once every 2 weeks, right?
Right.
As opposed to the old days where you'd sit back and wait 3 to 6 months and have, you know, a few martini lunches and you'd schmooze the client. And so too bad for me, the client, right? If I don't get to enjoy those perks, but
we could still have some martinis as we review the cost per lead.
There we go. So Charlie, you mentioned, well, we both mentioned quite a few positives, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to track, being able to learn and adjust and really bring down the cost per lead and the cost per acquisition and get a good return on investment. But, you know, with this approach, could it hurt us long term?
Yeah,
or
you know,
could it hurt us at all?
That's a really interesting question. It's something that we've been dealing with a couple of our clients. And I think that what's happened today is that we don't always think, and I mean the collective we, meaning the agency and the client, we don't think like stewards of the brand as much as we should. Marketing departments are acting more like corporate America, and everything is based on the results for this quarter. And now that we have this metrics of immediacy, if you will, at our hands, I can understand why. You know, I was reading the other day that the average life expectancy of a CMO is only 18 months. You know, and if you think about that, 18 months, you get hired as a CMO. The first thing you do is tell your parents, see, I told you I'd amount to something. And then immediately after that, you lay out your strategy for how you're going to grow the brand. You get it approved by the executive team, and you're thinking, this is great. You know, the problem is that same team is coming to you 2 months later saying, where are the immediate results? And as you know, Eric, you know, it takes a while to change that perception or grow that perception of the brand. So
you're saying we start focusing more on, or the CMO then starts focusing more on, you know, short-term results, quarter by quarter, month by month.
Exactly.
And so of those online components can actually really help bring
in. Even, you know, he can show week by week. He can come in and say, look what I've done for the cost per lead or cost per acquisition. Look how much I've improved ROI. And not only that, but now we're giving everybody dashboards so that the CEO can pull up at any moment and see how the CMO is doing. And if that's what the CMO is being judged upon, then everybody in the marketing communications department is also now thinking, how do I improve cost per lead? How do I improve cost per acquisition? And if you think about having to change a brand under those circumstances, you know, IBM was able to shed their old school image, but could they have done that through just cost per lead programs, right? And Apple, you know, Apple was at the point where everybody thought, boy, they're going to go out of business or somebody's going to have to buy them. And if Steve Jobs had to worry about the cost per acquisition of every marketing effort that he did, Apple wouldn't be the power that it is today.
Yeah. So you're telling me then the marketing leaders, because of all these capabilities, these online capabilities, dashboards, et cetera, you know, they're focusing on the short term. They're focusing on things that they can control where, you know, building the brand, building that customer loyalty, and that experience, you know, it takes time. It takes months. It sometimes
exactly.
takes a year
and
plus, right?
It's about building value in the brand. And you know, if you look at the brand rankings and you see the value of some of these brands, it takes a while to build that. And you know, the challenge is that if we're looking at everything from a cost per lead or a cost per acquisition, and everybody's, you know, we're busy tweaking our offer and our message. Well, our competitors are all doing the same, and pretty soon we begin to look very similar, and we lose the ability to differentiate our brand from everybody else. The other challenge is that the people that are responding to those efforts today are people that are ready to buy our product today. You know, we are losing the ability maybe to seed that market, to lay the groundwork. So if somebody is buying a new computer system, maybe they're not buying it this year, maybe that's a next year expenditure. All the messages that we're exposing them to over the course of that year are helping to build brand preference for us. However, if everything is based on cost per lead, everything's a now, buy, act, and I think we begin to lose some of that ability to impact those individuals in the future.
Well, you know, you bring up some very good points, and these are the conversations that go on the client side. You know, I work with Cisco WebEx, so obviously we have these conversations all the time. We're having them today. So thank you very much, Charlie, for sharing some of that input, especially from the agency side, being very candid. Love to talk to you again and find out what you and the agency are doing and to help some of your clients fight through those issues.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, as I said, we're all busy, you know, sort of retooling our toolbox, if you will, because, you know, as the agency, I think it's our responsibility to continually find new ways to reach those audiences, maybe in ways that they aren't expecting.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Charlie. I appreciate it. This is Eric Vidal with Marketing 2.0 Podcast. Have a good day.